gentlemen, welcome to the inauguration episode of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. My name is Vexax, and we are also joined by Johnny Zero.
How you doing out there?
Johnny Zero is our partner. He is the other gentleman on this podcast, and he is the genius who came up with the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
I can't say all that, but the most controversial wrestling federation ever in history.
I love that sentence.
I have to give a little bit of credit here to my brother X.
So yes, we started this together. It's our thing. What I'm going to do is give you a brief synopsis for all of the new viewers for the inauguration episode. So sit back and grab yourself a cool beverage and listen for story time. Are you ready, Johnny Zero? Okay. A story as old as time itself. A multimedia billionaire, after a long weekend of drinking and gambling with his friends, commits to producing, then airing, To the Death Gladiator Fights on national television.
That's true.
Once Keith Rupert Murdoch ran the idea past other Fox executives, it was strongly advised to change the Gladiator show to a pro wrestling style one-time event.
Absolutely. That makes sense.
To be televised, murder would be a difficult premise to secure sponsorship. I'm sorry, I'm cracking up, but this is funny. No, so to televise murder is just ridiculous.
Yeah,
The executives at Fox Media unfortunately didn't know whom to feature as their proposed athletes. It was decided the program would show sincere violence, but the network couldn't convince any legitimate actors to risk bodily harm in the pursuit of a billionaire's entertainment.
Actors, yes.
It was at that time a former segment producer from the Maury Povich Show, a strongly represented program on the Fox affiliates nationwide,
unbelievable,
made the suggestion that would change the face of professional wrestling forever.
Unbelievable. And it has.
It was suggested that the one-time Fox program star, former TV dads from sitcoms and dramas spanning the entire history of American television, pitted against each other.
And everybody thought they were washed up.
The idea was that most of those former stars were washed up, and if someone was to get injured, the corporation wouldn't lose any money. Fox Broadcasting, along with Baby Dad Media, searched the globe, gathering up former television dads and offering them lucrative, exclusive contracts.
Unbelievable.
And that was when that would become the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
It's a lot of money. I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of money in that.
What I like the most conceptually is that they found a bunch of washed up actors in their character forms, I might add.
Yes.
Their character forms.
Yes.
And offered them lucrative wrestling contracts.
I agree completely. I've never seen such a thing in my life. It's unbelievable. And you have them from different time periods, too. And
spanning the entire history of television.
Yeah. It's American pop culture at its finest. I mean, you know.
Now, conceptually, when we... Oh, well, I'm going to be honest. Johnny Zero presented me to this just as like a conversation to pass the day while we were both at work. And I was like, this is fucking funny, right? So and initially, I think it was supposed to be like we had like The Simpsons involved and Family Guy characters.
That was the animated division.
The animated division.
There was an animated division.
Now,
and a breakfast cereal character division. Too.
I forgot. And then
Tony the Tiger versus, you know, the Fruit Loops parrot, whatever it's
Well, Snap, Crackle, Pop were
three-man
tags.
Yeah, they were six-man tags.
Now, another avenue of this was that we included former U.S. presidents at one point.
Yes.
Because of the Lincoln Nazi killer. No, not Nazi killer. What was it? Zombie killer.
Abraham Lincoln was actually the first NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Says Johnny Zero.
Well, this is very debated.
Well, now, explain,
sir. There was no such thing as a National Wrestling Alliance at this point, which was started in 1904 with George Hackenschmidt.
So clearly he could not have been the first champion.
Well, it goes back to what's called catch as catch can. There
explain.
Had to be a movement of things for there to even to begin to be an NWA, which actually started in 1948 with Sam Muchnick in Missouri.
Now, you know, you literally said two sentences ago it was like 1902 or
something. Well, that's because the first World's Heavyweight Championship match of professional wrestling was 1904 between George the Russian...
Animal Steel, because he's that old.
Nope, George Hackenschmidt and... I can't remember the other guy's name off the top of my head.
The fact that you even comprehend that George Hackenschmidt existed or walked the earth is beyond my meager comprehension.
Well, get this, dude. Back in those days, wrestling matches were real. So
as I roll my eyes, watch this. This is me rolling my eyes on tape.
Well, people did the same thing when they were there. It was because the one guy is so. You were a wrestler yourself.
No, I was a shitty high school amateur wrestler.
He was great
for a brief time.
He was great. Shut up.
no, seriously, I wasn't good. My team was stellar, so I was like really thin, so I could beat up little tiny fat kids. It was interesting.
Whatever. Wow. Mm. Wow, that might be a story.
It's a true story.
That's a storyline we might get into later.
Like the 156 weight class or something, insanely. And I was like 6 foot tall all the time. Like, it was disturbing, you know?
Well, the matches with the world championship would be, and Joe Stetcher came in later. I can't remember off the top of my head who Hagerstrom's fought. But the matches would be 2.5 to 3 hours long. So what you get is these guys that are so good at wrestling that they counter move. Every move has a counter move, and they just end up rolling around.
The same thing was actually of the first boxing matches. Remember where they didn't have time limits and they would just go until someone died?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to get
gangs
off
of New York, Gangs of New York type stuff.
The Johnny Zero history lesson. Yes. We're going to actually return to the topic at hand. The TV Dad Wrestling first episode.
Yes.
Now, we were debating the title. We came up with...
The World's Heavyweight Championship
show. No, okay. For the show, first show that is going to be shown on Fox, it was, I said Battle of the Network TV Dads.
Oh.
You didn't like that. So what did you come up with?
I came with Challenge of the TV Dads.
Challenge of the TV Dads. Dads.
Yes, exactly like Challenge of the Super Friends. But I'm okay with Battle of the TV Dads, too. Because it's like, you know.
I do like the battle element. All right, so we have a corresponding Facebook page for this podcast. Nobody likes it, by the way. Today is November the 6th, 2017.
And, like, Ward's walking out and like something comes up and you see like this hidden stash.
Yeah, but they don't even know who Ward is yet. So you have to hold on a second. Right. We're going to explain it to everyone. So I want to go back to the beginning.
No, but he was announced in the first place. All right, go ahead.
I don't even want to...
Dude, June doesn't get beat up for nothing.
Just so we're clear, Johnny Zero's interpretation of Ward Cleaver from the Leave It to Beaver show, the father, is that he is Ward the Cleaver. And eventually, he has a heel turn, and shows up with a Hitler mustache decked out in full Nazi regalia. World War II.
Wife beater... Pants pulled up. June's in the hospital. Poor Wally, man.
When I think Third Reich.
Oh, God.
When I think Third Reich, I don't think of wife beaters for some reason. Like, that isn't. I think of, like, the grandeur. Like, remember Lemmy from Motorhead, how he always dressed in World War II uniforms?
Yes.
That's what I see Ward Cleaver coming out. I'm goose stepping to the ring.
Okay.
But we're not there yet, Mr. Zero.
Okay, got it.
Got it. Today is November the 6th, 2017. There is a Facebook page.
But he should strangely still have that mustache.
Please let me read the information. TV Dads Wrestling. It's on Facebook. On Facebook, there are memes created.
It's there.
That shows all of the athletes that are featured on the TV Dads Wrestling Network.
And we do have the best around. I mean, even for you hardcore wrestling fans, Dave Meltzer, all you know, guys like that, we have guys in the ring who can get it done. You know?
What I want to stress to everyone listening is that that we're going to create a thin air for your entertainment will be reminiscent of the UWF of the early to mid-80s.
Yep.
I guess to late 80s, too, technically.
Absolutely.
What year did the UWF cease to function? Was it 87, 86?
I think it was 89, technically.
That late?
Yeah, I think so.
Because, like, Sting made the jump. Like, I remember that, like, NWA kind of gutted.
Well, they had
the UWF.
That Western States Heritage thing where there was the oil crisis down in Oklahoma or whatever, and Watts and Crockett had their own thing, and... You know, you get the Steiners and the Varsity Club showing up, so they would do crossover shows. So at what point, you know, Wyndham wins the Western States Heritage Championship, you have Zbyszko there. It's a weird period.
I had no idea until I think a couple years ago that when I was, you know, negative years old, Larry Zbyszko was actually wrestling under Bruno Sammartino as his trainee for years.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Shea Stadium is one of the greatest ever.
Like, I just didn't know. And then, you know, you start listening to the shoots on, like, YouTube, and you're like, oh, my God, there's just this history that I missed it completely. The first time I saw Zbyszko, you remember when you bought those little characters that looked like the He-Man toys in the 80s, and they were presented, I guess, by the AWA exclusively?
Yes, Remco figures.
Yep. And then they had, like, the Road Warriors and things of that nature.
Yes.
I remember that's the first time I saw Larry Zbysko. And I was like, well, who's Larry Zbysko? And then, of course, as a little kid, there's no cable.
I painted him as Ace Frehley.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Which one? Larry Zbysko as Ace Frehley?
I had Ric Flair as Ace Frehley.
Oh, Ric Flair. I love
because he had that hair thing.
He did have that hair thing.
And then he had the Ric
Flair. He had the giant nose like a fucking falcon or something.
Though. It was
like,
Ric Frehley. Paul Zbysko, Gene Gordy.
Gene Gordy, you're a bastard.
And Peter, whatever the referee guy's name was.
Yeah,
Peter Gagne.
They sold
Peter Gagne.
The Fabulous Freebirds were the coolest toy. There were three of them.
Yeah.
They had a completely separate body for Gordy.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah, he and his body ended up.
So wait, who was Peter?
Peter was Greg Gagne.
Remember, oh yeah!
Remember they were pushing Gagne's referring Gagne's son. Yeah. He was actually a good wrestler.
He was. Don't lie to yourself. He was not a good wrestler.
No, he was okay.
No, because without his dad protecting him in the Alliance,
I
he had
it.
No career. Because if he was good, he would have broken to New York eventually.
I
want to tell me. I want to.
I'm just saying. I don't know if he would have. I don't know if he would be in the big major star.
Bruno Sammartino's.
I think David Sammartino though. Definitely was a great could have been a great wrestler had it been a different time. These guys were brought up in a different era, man.
Bro, if we're talking about
WrestleMania 1, first opening card. What's the match? David Sammartino. Tell me he's not good.
I'm going to tell you right now. Yeah. He's not good.
David?
Yes. Because his dad.
Give him a chance to develop. I mean, God.
It's only been 35 years. Yeah, I guess I should give him a chance.
He didn't get booked after that. That's what.
Watch me roll my eyes. Ready? Listen, I love how we're completely off topic already. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
I want anybody who's listening to
this. We're gonna edit all this shit out anyway.
No edits. This is it. One pass awesome. Today. We have to stop talking over each other.
Right? Yes. Oh yeah.
Sincerely, and yeah, it's all right. Just be careful. All right, we're gonna bring it back in. You guys ready? As we begin to discuss yet again, the first episode, which we now agree is Battle of the Network. No, not work.
The Challenge battle. Of the TV Dads.
Or was it Battle of the TV? I like Challenge. Challenge is good. All right.
If you want Battle, do Battle.
No, I like Challenge.
And the second one could be Challenge.
There you go. Or it could be Battle.
Challenge of the TV Dads.
And see, you came up with this fantastic.
You know what I mean? Like,
I guess. Conjure the Super Friends from the late 60s, early 70s, which were rebroadcast in the 80s, which is when we saw them.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that music in the background, that'd be kind of cool.
And it's like they're walking next to the
least. But wait, is there going to be a completely animated opening for the show?
I think it should be animated, but they have this new thing where you put the person's face on
the animated body.
Yeah, have you seen this going on? They do it in movies. They have a Trumpy video.
Really?
Yeah, like different.
So this is real?
They really do it.
Do you remember?
It's a program we could get, dude.
Remember Monty Python?
Yes.
Monty Python would just put ridiculous faces on things and make them talk.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, that's the same concept.
But they invented same this shit in the 70s.
This guy's brilliant.
It's not new. It's really old technology then.
But I'm saying they have a new thing, they program where when so you put the face
do
on.
Do they have this new thing called electricity? Look, Johnny Zero. No. It is not new.
I get it, but I'm saying.
No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
I know, but I'm saying, like, dude, they have this.
All right, we're reeling it back in. We're reeling it back in.
It's 300. Let me just finish with it. There's a 300 video out there with Donald Trump in it, right? And or whatever it is. And when the guy, Leonidas, you know, is walking out, the face of Trump is following every move that body makes.
Do you have any idea how ignorant we sound to the young people who listen to this show? No. They're like, that is a program on my laptop, dude.
We have
no idea.
Well, guess what, dude? We're cavemen.
We're grizzled old musicians.
I am a caveman.
Who still record on fucking analog machinery.
I am a caveman.
Stop, Mr. Caveman. We're going to return to the point. Challenge of the TV Dads. I am going to introduce for the first time ever, right now, the faces. Are you ready for the faces?
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun. On the good guy's side, we have Mr. Charles Ingalls, the Frontiersman. What show is he from, Johnny?
He's actually the only one of all of them that is actually based on a real-life person, Charles Ingalls, from Little House on the Prairie.
Okay, Little House on the Prairie.
Okay, he came up through the Midwest into Illinois, when Belligan, Illinois, in 1843, which could possibly mean that he could have been, we don't know this, could have been trained by Abraham Lincoln during one of his 300.
You know what? No, that's it. Charles Ingalls. Charles Ingalls was trained by former President Abraham Lincoln.
Because
that's it.
Wasn't called wrestling though. It was called catch as catch can. It was called catch as catch can.
No, that's in stone. So Charles Ingalls, who was our ultimate face, was trained by the former President Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
Do you want to know who our second face is?
Go ahead.
Stephen Keaton. Now, do you know what show that's from?
Family Ties.
Family Ties, exactly. Yeah. Now,
didn't he do some time over in? Didn't he do some training in Japan?
I can't speak on that.
Some ninjutsu
but
stuff?
I do know he refers to himself as the Black Magician Stephen Keaton.
I had seen him with some weapons, some commas, and some size swords and some smoke bombs
and
stuff.
It's possible. You guys really have to go to the Facebook page.
He's an assassin.
You have to. No, he's not the assassin. Assassin's someone else.
No, I'm saying he's in the ring. I'm saying I've seen some of his workout stuff. It's funny you should mention that. It's amazing.
All right. The next current face I want to stress. This is great. The next current face, because he has not had his turn yet, is Ward the Cleaver.
Ward the Cleaver.
Now, here's what's cool about Ward. He's only in black and white. Yep. There's no colored versions of him. When he comes in the ring, he's a black and white fucking person.
He is
Silverscreen. He wears a full suit into the ring.
He's right, folks. Captain Silverscreen.
Captain Silverscreen. I like it.
Yeah.
Next. Now, this is the next face. Do you guys remember? Now, maybe you won't get this reference. Don The Rock Morocco. Remember his run?
Absolutely.
Now, Don Morocco, before he was The Rock, was actually wrestling in the WWWF back in the late 60s.
When Snuka goes off the cage.
Well, no, that's later. That's the 70s. But I'm talking about he was like a wrestler in the 60s, and he made it all the way up until the late 80s, early 90s.
You were right. I forgot.
Well, I didn't. Right. There you go. So we now took the incarnation when Don The Rock Morocco in the late 80s turns face in the WWF back then, not WWE. And we took Jack Arnold from the Wonder Years, and he is now the version of Don The Rock Morocco. So he is.
I think that's a perfect storm there.
Thank you. Jack The Rock Arnold.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because everything he does, it means something. It might be slow, it might be methodical, but it's powerful, and he just works on that part of the body.
And he is a powerful wrestler. I want to stress that to you.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, he played Vincent Lombardi.
I forgot about that.
I remember that?
I forgot, actually.
When he works that arm, and you're just sitting there in your chair, all you people out there, you got to understand, when he works that part of your arm,
That's it. He works for the arm.
It means
That's
something.
That's all you say?
It means something.
I like that. Something. All right. Next, we have, from All in the Family, Everyman Archie Bunker.
That's it.
We're very excited about that.
I'm very excited.
Now, one half of the tag team, the Junkmen, we have, are you ready?
Yep.
Fred Sanford.
Fred Sanford and Lamont.
And Lamont Sanford, yes, they are a tag team.
Disco DeMond Williams, actually, is his real name. But
say that one more time.
Oh, no, I shouldn't.
Okay, No. We, unfortunately, have spent, I don't know, about 2 years of our lives. Listen, this is important. This is like we're sidestepping. Johnny Zero and I would get on the fucking phone, for real, at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and make fake wrestling matches and title losses.
Fake? What's fake?
And write scripts.
What are you talking about?
For 6 hours, to the point where I'm married now, but my then girlfriend would just start yelling at me, get off the phone!
She's gonna kill me.
And then Johnny Zero's girlfriend would do the exact same thing.
She's gonna kill him.
These girls want to get laid, and we're like, no, man, we're doing our wrestling thing, man. You don't get it.
And they try and act like they're into it for a second.
No, never. She just told me I'm dumb from the door. From the door.
Oh, man.
All right.
Well, Fred Disco Diamond, DeMond Williams.
Well, what's the name?
Disco Diamond. The Disco Diamond. He had a local regional hit in Compton.
The Disco Diamond. My God, I love that.
Disco Diamond Williams. In the late 70s, he had a disco was a hot thing at the time, and he had there was a Compton roller rink there, and he had a local regional hit.
Now, is this complete fabrication, or did this actually happen?
I know it was pre-rap hip-hop, and it's still considered kind of hardcore. Like he would have roller skates on,
and I heard rumors that he had appeared with the Sugar Hill Gang at one.
Yes,
point.
There was actually a Sugar Hill Gang show at the somewhere out in California, and this is before he went on to be a preacher and stuff like that, and that's where he gets his Disco Diamond, DeMond Williams.
After what's going to happen,
but that is not what Fred wanted. Fred was against this. Fred was very much against this.
All right, so listen. Inauguration episode. We're introducing the faces. Another face, an undercard wrestler, is going to be Henry Winkler, who you might remember appeared as the Fonz on Happy Days. Now, I'm gonna break the fourth wall yet again and explain that some of our TV dads wrestle under their actual real names.
Yes.
And there's no rhyme or reason to this. It's whatever Johnny Zero and I decide.
Yeah, some guys, there is a rhyme or reason. What is it? What would you say it is, Rex?
No, I'd say there's none. The fact that out of nowhere, we don't make the Fonz an athlete, we make Henry Winkler fucking athlete, makes me laugh. Like, that's funny to me.
I know.
Now, Winkler,
they're two separate guys.
Though. Winkler on the first show has a tag team partner. Do you know who the tag team partner is?
Oh, gosh.
Red Foreman.
That's right.
Now,
that's right.
Ironically enough,
and that's when Red is still, he's already won qualification matches and everything.
He's called Madman Red Foreman.
That's it.
That's
Madman.
That's what he is. He's the Madman.
He's awesome.
Now, all right, the final face for the first card.
But people don't think he's spiffy enough or like.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Yeah. So the final face of the first card is my absolute favorite. Are you ready? The working man, James Evans.
James Evans, I love him too.
From Good Times.
Good Times, yes.
Now,
absolutely.
Another fourth wall breakdown.
A man who has problems with his sons too. I mean,
ironically, that's a good point. If a TV dad appears in the Wrestling Federation in any capacity, his corresponding sons from that show, as long as they're adults, are allowed to appear as well in said federation.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, when you take a show. Like the Partridge Family.
Absolutely.
All of those people are eligible.
Yes.
Now, there wasn't even like a dad figure per se, except for like the manager guy.
Yeah. Right.
But the Partridge Family was a sitcom.
Yes, sir.
So that brings me to one of our biggest heels from the beginning. Under his not TV show name, but actual name, Danny the Macho Man Bonaducci.
Bonaducci, the dude, El Duce.
El Duce. Now, the beautiful part of this character is that he's pretty much a thinly veiled version of Randy Macho Man Savage. From his...
He's got Piper in him, though, too.
Nah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
From his heel beginning in the WWF.
Heel Piper, yeah.
Well, yeah. So, Danny Bonaducci, I want you to think Macho Man.
Yeah,
the robes, the grandeur.
Yeah. Oh, and look at his muscles on the thing. He even has...
When you go to the Facebook page, which I hope you do, and I hope you like the page,
yes.
There's a phenomenal meme. Danny Bonaducci's ripped, his face is all busted up, and he's wearing... I don't want to give it away. He's wearing something
you'll want to see. You want to see that. That's,
you'll want to see it.
Yeah. That's not going to be up there very long. They better hurry up and get there.
it's going to be fun.
I don't know how legal, you know.
Now, if you think of
legalities, folks.
If you think of Charles Ingalls as our number one face for the entire federation, I want you to take into consideration that the Bloody Butcher, Mike Brady from the Brady Bunch,
the Dark Family Secret,
is the biggest heel. Hands down, he's
the kiss of death.
Vile.
The kiss.
He has taken the time to file his teeth into fangs.
Three words, kiss of death.
I want you to think of that movie, Gangs of New York, and think of the Butcher character, and then make him a flaming homosexual.
But the only person that doesn't know this is Disco Diamond, or excuse me, Lamont.
Don't get there yet.
Lamont's.
Don't do it. Don't tip the cards.
The Dark Family Secret. Dark Family Secret.
And we're talking over each other. Be careful.
Sorry.
So again, we're going to have the heel side, Danny Bonaducci, followed by Mike Brady, who's the ultimate heel.
The Bloody Stash Butcher.
The Bloody Stash Butcher. Again, I want you guys to think of Gangs of New York.
And he's also commander of the Bloody Stash crew.
There, it doesn't exist yet, sir. It's day number one, sir.
Okay.
Stop jumping the shark, sir.
I'm not jumping the shark. I'm just saying, like.
All right, the next heel. This is so good.
Pretty obvious.
The Snake, George Jefferson.
Yes.
Now, the reason George is so awesome, in my opinion, he calls everybody honky, which is fucking funny beyond comprehension.
That's back when people used to make, like, humorous jokes and, like, use it to, like, break the ice to get along together.
Here's the cool part.
Different skin colors or whatever.
Here's the cool part. This podcast is being picked up by
Unity.
Okay, talk over me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's your show.
No, I just wanted to get that out. I didn't want to. Sorry.
Unity.
Yeah.
All right. This is being picked up by a specific network in podcast land. I'm not saying the name of the network yet. However, I think it's kind of already been announced, and it's going to be debuting shortly. The point is, there are no rules. We can say off-color remarks. We can curse like sailors. We can be sexist. We can do whatever the fuck we feel like doing. There's no sponsorship yet.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to sponsor TV Dad's Wrestling, just let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Go ahead.
I think that how do we not start this, the BSC?
You can't. Please let me stick to the script, young man.
I got it.
All right. The next tag team to be featured, again, this is the heel side.
Got it.
Someone called the Polk High Killers, featuring Al Bundy and Bud Bundy.
Shit, I saw them on a tag team match in, what was that, Illinois? No, well, they're out in...
Well, you say Illinois, they get offended when you put the S on. Did you know that?
Yeah, Illinois, excuse me. Dude, they're a great tag team.
I don't know.
They're excellent. They have great continuity.
I feel like Bud's a bit weak.
I think so too, but he's not. He's not. He's a scrapper.
You got to see the memes.
He's still a scrapper. He's in there.
You got to see the memes that we created, because Bud and Al look phenomenal in their memes. Go to the Facebook page; it's ridiculously
funny. Well, what about a lot of people? What a lot of people out there may not realize is that Al Bundy was Ed O'Neill was the original Han Solo.
Explain, sir.
Well, they came down. They had a thing when.
Who's they? Who came down?
The producers, George Lucas, and the original guy that wrote the book. It's actually from Adventures of Luke Skywalker. Wasn't it called Star Wars?
Understood.
It was a fanzine and so forth. Influenced Captain Marvel and all kinds of comic book stuff. So when Marvel got the license and they got the money behind it, and Alec Guinness and so forth, they had a tryout for Han Solo, and Ed O'Neill, a young Ed O'Neill. Now, this is not the, what you guys may not know is that this is not, Married with Children, Al Bundy.
Oh, years before.
Yeah.
Several years.
Because in the original story, Han Solo was an older guy, and he was the last two actors was Harrison Ford and Ed O'Neill. And Ed O'Neill had it a green light all the way, and then the last second they clipped him for Harrison Ford.
But could you imagine? Could you imagine,
and
like,
that's
Star
how his
Wars?
Anger is. To, he's bringing that anger to our Federation.
The beauty of it is there's eventually going to be a storyline where he starts coming to the ring dressed in the Han Solo garb.
Yes.
And he starts claiming that he is Han Solo.
Absolutely.
And with The Force Awakens and the new movie coming out this year, fuck that. He is Han Solo.
That's it. And imagine, dude, and not only that, he's mad at Hollywood for, why wasn't he Indiana Jones? I mean, if Ed O'Neill could have been Han Solo, think about it.
Get off of my plane.
You got Moonraker, you got
is
Witness.
Is he in Witness? Is he in, oh, I love that movie. That's because it was in Philly, so I just love it.
Yeah, exactly. The detective. Remember when he beats the guy? Imagine if it was Ed O'Neill, though.
No, I won't. Whatever. Moving right along. Whatever. All right.
Ed O'Neill sings differently.
That's this tag team.
That's his mentality.
Which is in the heel division, is hands down my favorite tag team in all of TV Dad's Pro Wrestling. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So going back on point, what I have to say is that hands down my favorite tag team in all of the Federation. Are you guys ready for this?
I'm ready.
They call themselves the Royals, okay? They're very smug. They're very arrogant. And it is the tag team featuring TV Dad and accused rapist Bill Cosby. And his tag team partner is the Juice, O.J. Simpson. Now, you might ask as a fan, where on earth did you get this from? But remember in the 80s, Huxtables, that was like the show. He was the biggest and the most powerful of all the TV dads of the 1980s, correct?
Into the 90s as well.
Did it go that long?
Yep.
I didn't recall, to be completely honest. However, what
very
I want
to... Very controversial team.
They are controversial. Now, though OJ has never been a TV dad ever, he did make an appearance for a long time at his murder trial, which was televised, and he was the father of some children. So I know it's a stretch, but we love the Royals, and they are our ultimate, our heel tag
and,
team.
And in Vex's defense on this, I agree, because that murder trial lasted much longer
years.
Than some of the series.
Yeah,
TV Dad series. Very controversial team. I've heard some things about water and stuff being, you know, polluted.
Well, this is what I love. Like, we were just, all right, so we're off mic for a minute. We're editing, we're jumping in. And Mr. Johnny Zero is like, I want to get to the finishing moves, man. I want us to establish finishing moves for all of our characters, which I'm totally fine with. What I want to stress again is this is the inauguration episode.
Yes.
That being said, I think it's cool that the way the Royals win all of their matches is that Bill Cosby straight up drugs the other team. That's, and it just happens, and no one cares, and it isn't, like, sanctioned or unsanctioned.
The ref. They go out and they got lewds in their water.
Lewds!
They go out to swing, and they're just, well, he cornered the market on.
No, I just love that you're like, lewds.
He cornered the market
lewds,
on.
Lewds, man.
Wolf on Wall Street.
I know.
That's what he's been doing.
That's what he's been doing. He's just stockpiled the lewds.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. All right. The next singles competitor heel in the Federation is Meathead Michael Stivic.
Yes.
Now, this is Rob Reiner featuring him with a giant, shall I say, bloody mustache.
Yes.
And his hippie haircut and, you know, Archie Bunker hates him and the whole thing, which is kind of cool.
And he has an interesting future, by the way.
Well, we'll get there. Yeah. We'll get there. Now, another... This is a singles athlete from the Adams family, the bloodthirsty millionaire Gomez Adams. Absolutely. Now, he's a package deal, and he comes with his The Bodyguard, Lurch.
Absolutely.
Lurch will be down the road in some other things. He's kind of a knockoff Frankenstein, so we'll get there. Mm-hmm. But that now caps off the heels and the faces for the TV Dad inauguration show, which is called Challenge of the TV Dads. Yes. Dads.
Yes.
Any thoughts?
The Justice League of America.
The Justice League of America theme song. Now,
for the Legion of Doom.
Mr. Zero came up with a fantastic concept of who would be the ring announcer. Or the color commentator.
Bob Uecker.
Now, here's the cool part. Bob Uecker, we love him from Major League, but he's also on Mr. Belvedere, and he actually plays the dad of Mr. Belvedere. So he's brought in by Mr. Rupert Murdoch, that's
absolutely.
It,
absolutely.
To be the color commentator for the whole thing, which is amazing. He just does all the talking himself. I can hear you literally tapping into the phone through the microphone.
I was trying to look up, he was a TV dad on another show as well.
No, Mr. Belvedere, man, that's his show.
Wasn't he on another one?
It doesn't matter, he qualifies, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's a lot of TV characters that I do want to use who just were never, ever, ever TV dads in any capacity. Right. Like, I think of Quincy from Quincy MD,
yes.
And that was his next show after he did The Odd Couple in
yes,
the
70s. Yes, that guy would be great.
But we'll get there, but this is the inauguration.
He's probably a great technician. He's probably great. He's probably like the ring surgeon. He's probably like, you know, really good. He probably works on your knees. Like, he has like, he's like a step over toe hold. It's like his finisher.
So, all right.
You know what I mean? Like,
since we have now shown everybody or read to everybody who our first competitors are going to be in the Federation.
What about Ricardo? Ricardo.
Mr. That's Ricardo. Not in the beginning.
Okay.
This is the beginning.
I just saying he just won the
No, he didn't. Don't.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding. Right. Do what you want. Listen, we're going to I'm going to give some teasers for upcoming talent. The Luchadors will be a tag team featuring Ricky Ricardo and Bang Bang George Lopez. Now, the cool part is Ricky Ricardo is obviously from I Love Lucy, right? So he's a dad, so he qualifies.
He's badass.
And Bang Bang George Lopez had his own show, the George Lopez Show, and he was a TV dad. So they qualify, and they are called the Luchadors, which is just amazing.
And that's how they brought him into America. But they have won other regional titles.
We'll get there.
Okay.
This is just, like, you know, hinting what's to come down the road. Another one that Mr. Johnny Zero came up with very recently is, do you guys think of the Joker from the Batman series, like how sadistic and funny he is? There's someone called the Heckler, Rob Petrie, which is Dick Van Dyke's character.
Some people call him Sick Van Dyke.
Sick Van Dyke. I like that. The Heckler, Sick Van Dyke. That might be it. I think we're changing it from Rob Petrie.
Rob Petrie works.
But the photograph that we put on the Facebook page is just beyond amazing.
Dude, it's great.
And now, go ahead.
Well, I just noticed, I was looking at the ring crew, and we can see what you guys can't see. So we're looking at ring.
Because we've created this in our minds.
Yes, and we can see the ring crew setting up. So Tim Allen is, or Tim Taylor, Tool Time Tim Taylor, the technician, he's setting up the ring. He's stayed at Ingles Farm, and he's gotten off his cocaine problem. And he's wearing a hoodie. He's not doing this for any kind of...
I want you to think of him as like a face Arn Anderson. That's how we're looking at the technician, Tim Taylor.
Brilliant.
That wasn't me. That was yours.
Oh, come on.
Now, all right, we had discussed previously from the face side, working man James Evans. Yes. James Evans' children from the TV show Good Times will eventually appear in the Wrestling Federation.
Listen.
J.J. Evans will be the Duke of Chicago.
If you remember New York...
Escape from New York.
Escape New York. The Duke of New York. Pretty much, you know, that. This is an older James J.J. now. JJ. This is not like Dynamite J.J.
No, this is like the 80s J.J.
Yeah. Actually, it's current J.J.
No, he's too heavy. Like, the photograph that we put up on the Facebook is like when he's in his 80s power suit and he's trying to do stand-up.
Fair enough. But he got bigger all of a sudden.
Mm.
But either way, and the other one is The Militant that Vex came out with.
The Militant Michael Evans. Yes, sir.
Right.
Now, if you remember, if you watched Good Times, Michael was very involved with the Black Power movement and things of that nature. That's what so now, as an adult, he's got his dreadlocks out and he's growing a goatee. And we have a photograph of this. And he is The Militant James Evans.
Yeah,
no, not James. What is it? Michael Evans. My apologies.
Well, that's before they go up against Cop Lives Matter.
We're not even there yet.
Okay, all right, sorry.
So back to the...
Sorry, folks.
No, it's all right. The challenge of the TV dads. Now, for the inauguration of this first episode, which will appear roughly on a Tuesday night during sweeps on the Fox network, the very first match, can you guess who it's going to be?
I got to say it's got to be Bunker and Sanford or Bunker and Jefferson.
It is Archie Bunker versus George Jefferson.
Wow.
Now, this is because if you remember watching All in the Family, George Jefferson was the original neighbor to Archie Bunker, and they would battle verbal barbs.
Wow.
Not to mention with the climate of America, with the racism and things of that nature that happened last year and things like that, we have Archie Bunker, who's, you know, he's the face versus the snake, George Jefferson.
Dude, I think that match alone is worth the price of admission.
Well, now we discuss.
I'm there.
We discuss this match. How does this end? What happens?
Well,
how does it start, sir?
Well, we got.
I'll give an example. I'm not cutting you off.
Go ahead.
Theme music. Who comes in the ring first?
I with the first initial broadcast, I would think that they would go out to their own TV show theme.
I love that concept.
Just that one time for the inauguration.
What I would say is that we have every man, Archie Bunker, comes out to his theme song.
Yeah.
I can hear it in my head. No, don't do it because then we got to pay really publishing or
some shit.
Sorry, like Archie Bunker and Edith Bunker singing.
Yeah, I didn't say that. Sorry. I can't help it. It's in my head.
Good, and hopefully if it's in the listener's head. Yep. So that's what Archie Bunker comes to the ring with. Now George Jefferson, is it moving on up? Is that what it is? Is that what happens? Like, does he come out to that?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to let my friend Johnny Zero take this over. What happens now?
Well, they come out, and it has to be a dispute that is settled from when the All in the Family episode where they launch the Jefferson's episode.
Yeah.
Something there when he starts the washing machine company.
No, it wasn't washing machines. He was a dry cleaner.
I mean, dry cleaning. That's what I mean. Washing machine, dry cleaning.
Excuse me. Difference. He didn't manufacture washing machines.
Yes, sir.
You have to know your history of the TV dads, not just your wrestling history, Mr. Zero.
You are true.
I'm just kidding.
You are true, my friend.
I'm just kidding.
Mr. X. But there was some money that was loaned, perhaps. There was some dispute over money backstage, off camera. Now, nobody knows who was right or who was wrong, but apparently this
Jefferson, I paid into your company.
And... you know, and their wives are friends. It's like Peter Griffin and that rooster on Family Guy.
Recently, the female rooster and Lois went at it.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that?
It's great.
We'll get there someday.
It's the animated division.
The animated division,
yes. Yeah, breakfast cereal division.
Oh, that was all right. I'm not gonna lie. It was fucking brilliant. It was just brilliant.
Tony the Tiger
faces off against the Snack'em.
No. The parrot from
but wouldn't the tiger just win? He's a tiger.
Sam,
Toucan
follow
Sam.
My nose. I'm only nose.
Toucan Sam.
And he uses a foreign object. He takes it off and like uses it when the ref isn't looking.
All right, Archie Bunker versus George Jefferson. What happens in the match?
I don't know. You want to flip?
You want to flip? Is that how we're gonna end it? I thought we could be more creative.
I gotta say, I think Bunker takes it. I really do.
All right, that's good. I like that. So Bunker's the winner. Now, is it a clean win? Is it a submission? Does he pin him? What happens?
I think it's got to be a bear hug submission or maybe a knockout win. I don't see like Jefferson going out like disgraced or anything. But just look at. I mean, if all you got to do is look at their size. Carol O'Connor and Sherman Hemsley. I mean, it's not really.
The tail of the tape, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, he power slams that guy, dude. That's it. I mean.
No, I always thought Archie Bunker would have like a bear hug type of finish, but you think it's something else?
I think he could do both. He could be bear hug and like a belly to belly bear hug. I think he'd turn him into a ragdoll, dude.
I, in my mind, for some reason, see him doing a headlock and then jumping in the air and riding Jefferson's head into the mat.
Oh, that'd be great.
Good closer, right?
Great. Like a bulldog, like a running bulldog.
Did we call it the bulldog? I don't know.
Like a headlock and he drives his head right in the mat?
Yeah, he jumps up in the air.
Yeah.
He puts his legs up. Like, yeah. He's like, boo, boo, puts his legs up and he lands with Jefferson's face into the mat, knocks him unconscious, and he pins him.
Dude, that's awesome.
So Bunker wins. All Bunker. Right, that's our first match.
I like it. I mean, do you like it? Do you agree with that?
Oh, I think it's, yeah, I'm not disagreeing.
No, I'm saying, like, it's fair.
Believe
fair.
Me, I am very verbal. And if I did not like where this was going, you would fucking know.
So. All right, cool, man.
All right. Now. The second match of the evening is a tag team match.
Yes.
Okay? And you hear bum bum burner. Not that we were legally allowed to do that. Do you know who wrote that?
No, I want to know that. I love it.
Quincy Jones wrote that music.
Really?
While smoking opium.
Really?
He said, yeah. So Artie Lang, who
not the opium part, the music.
Well listen,
yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Artie Lang. Artie Lang has a podcast.
I love Artie Lang.
It's funny.
He's really funny, man. Yeah.
Okay, it always goes back to Kiss.
Sorry.
Just so we're clear, listening audience, everything that you
sorry.
Say to Mr. Johnny Zero
sorry.
Goes back to Kiss.
Oh, stop.
I was like, you know, someone invented splitting the atom. He's like, actually, Ace Frehley split the atom in 1978 on his guitar, bro.
In Planet Jindal. Oh, man.
And yeah, sorry. There you go. Sorry. No, it's okay. I think it's funny. It's just, this is who you are. Bum, bum, ban it. All right, so the music's written by Quincy Jones while smoking opium. And what I find interesting about the story is Artie Lang wasn't impressed that Quincy Jones wrote that song in 20 minutes while high. Artie Lang was like, where can you get opium? Like, for real. Like, that's the fucked up part. Like, he's just like, I don't even care about it. You get opium? That's for real.
Is Artie Lang still with us?
Yeah, he has a podcast with Anthony Cumia.
Oh, thank God.
And he wants to have him to change his name to Lou Cumia so he can just write checks for leukemia and just keep all the money.
Oh, my God.
This is for Lou Cumia.
Yeah.
That's a good fucking joke anyway. So I'm stealing Artie Lang's material, so sorry, Mr. Lang.
No, it's great.
So Fred Sanford and Lamont Sanford come to the ring under their theme song, and they are the junk men, and they're happy, and the fans love them, and there's all this electricity and this energy, and they're satisfied now. They saw a great wrestling match, you know. They're going to see a cool tag team match.
Grady's in the front row.
Grady is there. I want to stress that enough. Yeah. Grady's part of it. It's not like the Freebirds, but kind of like the Freebirds, you know what I mean? Like he's hanging out. He's like the valet for them. It's cool stuff.
And fans, you should probably appreciate this while you can, because it's one of the only times you're going to see.
We're not going to give anything away on day one.
Oh, sorry.
Then you have Al Bundy and Bud Bundy. Love and marriage, but gung, gung, gung. Love and marriage, gung, gung, gung. And then it gets heavy, right?
Yes.
And they run out to the ring Road Warrior style. Right, no, for real. They run in and they just clothesline and hammering people, and poor Fred Sanford's on the mat immediately, and you take it from there.
Polkai Killers.
The Polkai Killers.
Was it 5 touchdowns in one game?
yes, it was.
It's unbelievable. They're a great tag team. Should Al wear his Han Solo getup even
they
in the first match?
They come out currently and they're wearing their the football jerseys of Polkai.
Okay.
That's what their garments are for the ring.
All right. So even like we couldn't wear,
and because they're like the Road Warrior knockoffs, they have the shoulder pads on, the spikes, the whole thing.
That's,
you know what
great.
I mean? It's like a thing.
That's great.
And they run in and they just start hammering them. They're beating Lamont to the ground. But I want you to take over. So now I set the stage. What do you got?
I'm not. I want you. You pick this one. I didn't pick that. I kind of think Polkai wins.
I think it's a stomp fest. I don't think that the Junkmen ever really recover. There's like, you know, when you used to watch like a Hulk Hogan match back in the day, and Hulk Hogan comes out and he starts really strong, right? And then in the middle he gets beat up for 25 minutes, and then he comes back strong. It's not even. It's a Road Warriors match. Polkai beats the poor Junkmen into the ground.
But I will say this though, that is not. And listen, I'm agreeing with what he's saying, but please do not underestimate Fred Sanford's ring ability and Lamont's ring ability. It's just their chemistry together does not work as a team.
Well, what's going to happen
is
that Grady's going to jump up on the apron, and he's going to try and just motivate his friends. Mm-hmm. The Polkai Killers turn on Grady and start beating the shit out of him. And then someone puts on the pads, the shoulder pads with the spikes onto Al. And then Al starts doing like a football stance and ramming everybody in the ring. Now there's blood everywhere. And ready?
Yep.
The Junkmen win by disqualification because you can't put on football pads with spikes and beat everybody up.
Absolutely. Boom. That's it. And it's and the other thing, folks, one thing we want to make clear to you is to be eligible for the singles World Heavyweight Championship division, you have to have been a TV dad.
Yes.
And held
your own. If you're going to hold the heavyweight championship or even compete for the heavyweight championship, you must have been a TV dad. You can't be a son. You can't be a spinoff character. You can't be something creepy that me and Johnny Zero introduced into the story.
Absolutely.
So we're going to say these are the five commandments.
They can compete in non-title matches or grudge matches, cage matches, hardcore. You know, every other title
is on the table.
Just the actual world's heavyweight wrestling championship has to be an actual TV dad. You had to have actually been a television dad, held your own series, etc. And that's why I'm an Ingles fan is because he's the only one that's a real guy. Historically.
Anyway, we're gonna forge the five commandments of TV dads wrestling.
Ingles
the
rules.
Number one commandment, though, is only former TV dads can hold the heavyweight title.
Yes, absolutely.
Or compete for in any capacity.
The world's heavyweight wrestling championship.
But on the first show, there's no federation and there is not yet a heavyweight title. Just so we're clear.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It takes off.
Yeah. Now it's time for the third match.
Yes, got it. What's
okay.
up? Who's up?
Do you remember the theme song to Good Times?
Absolutely.
Working man James Evans remembers the song. He puts on his working clothes, his working gloves, his Jeff hat.
Keeping your head above water.
That's all we're going to say. And he walks to the ring, and they love him, the working man James Evans. Absolutely. He's an everyday blue-collar guy.
Absolutely.
And who's he going to face off against? Do you know?
Let me look at my card.
The bodyguard, Lurch.
Lurch.
Don't bump the microphone with your shoulder blocks. Sorry. Johnny Zero is so into wrestling, he's starting to fight the
microphone. Dude, James Evans destroys him. It's not even close. Evans, dude.
Now, here's what's a little weird for me. That's two in a row where we had the faces win, right? So James Evans and James Evans mops the floor with him, and there's just a clean win.
What do you think? I don't
know. No. I like it. I like it.
You see Lurch? I mean, he'll turn that guy into a pretzel. You know what I mean? He's big. He's
like. He is. I think of him like he's the dad from Coming to America a little bit, a little older, but bigger like a bear and very strong.
But I'm saying like Lurch is going to whip him into the ropes. He's got the big boot. He could probably drop a leg or two here and there. Maybe a gorilla press slam. But I mean, really, what is he going to do against James Evans?
Who is a technician. The blue collar man.
Absolutely.
The everyman.
Yeah, exactly. The ghetto Santa.
No, not yet.
Oh, yeah.
That's not even him.
Got it.
Just remember, everybody, Uncle Phil from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air will make an appearance. And I believe I heard a rumor, I might have read it on Twitter, that he will be wrestling under the moniker of the Ghetto Santa.
Ghetto Santa.
But that's down the road, kids. We don't know about that.
That's pretty big stuff.
All right, now, this is going to be interesting, okay?
Ghetto Santa is awesome.
This is the first appearance of Ward the Cleaver.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Unfortunately, he doesn't come out to the theme song, even though he's a face of Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
From the door, he's playing the national anthem of the Third Reich. Yeah, there's drums and horns. And he goose steps to the ring.
And his trousers are up past his belly button. And he's got it's...
He's already goose stepping. Now, he's wearing
the suit. Would that be the fourth? Fourth Reich.
He's wearing the suit, right?
Yeah.
But he has on a World War II Nazi hat.
And this is what... And his theme music begins with a hand slap that goes... Ward! And he's actually smacking June in real life, and he recorded it. That's how sick this man is. And then the music starts. It's on, it's edited into his production.
He goose steps all the way to the ring.
It's crazy.
He's a face, and he's facing off against the bloodthirsty millionaire Gomez Adams. No. Adams mops the floor with him.
You think so?
He does. Because for
he's too small.
Any guy that beats his woman in his heart is a pussy.
Absolutely.
So he slaps around June Cleaver.
Yeah.
And Gomez comes in and he does
Watusi stuff, and he's got shoulder moves, and he's dancing, and he kicks him in the face, and it's like,
I was just thinking in terms of, like, isn't Gomez, like, I love Gomez, don't get me wrong, I love the idea of sticking up for women and stuff like that, don't make me paint
but
he's the
Gomez
bad guy.
Gomez is still a heel.
I'm just thinking, isn't he, like, short?
He's a heel,
and
so Lurch
lighter.
Tosses him a foreign object, and he knocks out this Ward the Cleaver.
Or maybe Gomez is just better than we thought he was.
Which is a possibility, we don't know, it's only the
you
first,
know, I mean,
you know.
He did have those championships with Ricardo and, you know, anyway. Back in, you know, dude, that makes sense. Like, David versus Goliath. He just whips him.
He just lays him out. Like, it's not even close.
Like
there's
like
no back and forth.
Like, Ward just totally overlooked his competitor.
Yeah. Well, no, you beat your woman. You're a pussy.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
the bottom line.
I agree
and
completely.
Then you're, like, hiding behind the Fourth Reich, and there's all this
yeah.
stuff. It'll
yeah.
get there. But now he's been embarrassed on national television by a much weaker competitor.
And then he comes home and takes it out on June.
Of course he does.
And takes it out on Wally and poor Beav, man.
Both of them.
I'm a Beav fan. I can't help it. I like Beav.
Both of them.
I've always felt like I was Beaver in some weird way.
Both of them will eventually appear in the Federation, which I'm so excited to get to.
Yeah, dude, yeah. And or like a white JJ or whatever, but anyway. But no, I'm serious, man. He's abusive to him. What's a guy, you know, the guy goes home and he beats up his wife and stuff.
And his kids, he drinks too much. Yeah. He's sitting there talking about how the Nazis were like were supposed to win.
But this is like all off camera. But as soon as the cameras go on, he's like Mr. like, you know, 1950s high. Hi, hey, Beav, how you doing? You know, Mr. Morals, Mr. Values and stuff. And then as soon as that camera goes off, it's, you know.
Now, the next match is the mid-card of the evening. It's like the midway point. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a phenomenal technical wrestling battle. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I think back to, like, Randy Macho Man versus, I'm blank, the Dragon Ricky Steamboat. Was it WrestleMania 3?
Yes, that would be WrestleMania 3.
This fantastic technical match. So what we're going to feature.
You could get Wyndham Flair.
So here's what we
Crockett
have.
Cup. Yeah.
That isn't WrestleMania 3.
Well, the same thing. They're great technical. This matchup is unbelievable.
The Black Magician, Keaton, right?
Yep.
Stephen Keaton is going to face
Danny Bonaducci.
Danny the Macho Man Bonaducci. And the thing of it is, I want to stress from the door that though Keaton is also a face, he's a bit of an anti-hero.
Yes.
He's angry. He felt marginalized in his series.
Yep.
He's a much better dramatic actor than was shown. And he's got and he took his money. He took his money off camera, and he went to the Orient, and he learned the black arts.
Absolutely.
And he's a ring assassin. He's a bad mamma jamma.
And he was friends with, in that series, he was famous for, I don't know if you guys remember, Revenge of the Ninja and Enter the Ninja, Chokasugi was a great American, Japanese actor. That was trained in Mount Kuga ninjutsu style. Apparently, through his acting connections, Keaton actually went over to Japan to learn his martial arts because he thought his character on the show was too weak and, like Vex said, marginalized. And he has this dark side that he wants to get out. It doesn't mean he's a heel, per se, but he's not exactly the nice hippie guy that you remember.
And he doesn't come out to any theme music, which is highly suspect. Nope. Highly suspect. Nope. And he comes to the ring because all faces come first, and this isn't the show. Nope. And he comes out. There's no music. Danny Bonaducci comes out to the Partridge Family. He's angry. He's bitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's spitting at the audience.
Yep.
He's got on his giant, gorgeous robes.
Yep.
Like, he's the man. Here's what I'm going to propose to you, my partner, about this match.
Yes, sir.
It should go the time limit.
I think so too.
It would not have a winner.
Let's do a Broadway.
It's just back and forth and back and forth. The Black Magician faces the Macho Man.
Where are we at on time limit?
Well, no, it's going to be all right. So you figure it's going to be a 25-minute limit. It's TV. They're going to edit it down. It's going to really air for about, I don't know.
In live audience, it should be 60 minutes, dude. That's a great match.
But it's an undercard match.
I really do. I think that's a great match, folks. I'm just letting you know.
I agree. But this is the first time.
I'm more the anal
and
person.
We're going to stick with a 25-minute time limit that will televise roughly 9 minutes after editing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's a draw.
That's
straight up.
Draw.
Both men leave the ring respecting each other.
Yeah.
But bloodied, and they've both been in a fight.
Absolutely. I kind of see Bonnet. If you had to say, though, if it went to, like, say it was a time, since it's the first show, should we have a draw? Or should we have, like, a judges, celebrity ring judges? Like,
no.
Euchre and Howard Cunningham.
It's going to set us up for down the road.
Okay.
This is it.
Okay.
It's a draw, and it's no one saw it coming.
Okay.
Keaton everybody thought if Vegas money was that Bonaducci was going to crush Keaton. There was like, no, there's no two ways about it. But no one knew about the dark arts.
Yeah.
The black magician's been studying.
He's a ninja.
He's a bad man.
Yeah. He's not somebody you want to mess with.
And Bonaducci, dude, I wouldn't fight Bonaducci.
And that's what people I don't think out there really are going to understand, that Michael Keaton has another side to him. If you watch Family Ties, you understand that this is after Alex leaves the house.
This is when the wife becomes a lesbian.
Yep.
Because she has in real life, and he's just angry, and he's marginalized. Yep. And his daughters are losers, and his son gets, what are you doing?
She had the show with her,
you can just say
the
whatever
the breast cancer.
Who had breast cancer?
Mrs. Keaton.
The dyke? I can say dyke.
I heard he had her titty, like, you know, showed up and used it as a foreign object and shit. No?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know what he has terrible in that bag of Oriental tricks from the Orient.
I know he uses the smoke bombs. And when he comes out to the ring. The black magician, when he comes out to the ring without any, he comes out stone cold without any, you know, cold. They used to call it, before there was this thing called Stone Cold Steve Austin, there was a thing called calling out Stone Cold, meaning like you didn't need any ring entrance. You just came out and gave looks to people and scared them off. Sometimes you'll see a smoke bomb drop and the lights go down and he just disappears. He just appears like in the corner.
The black magician. But the fans love him.
Yes.
They respect him.
Yes.
They know that he's worked on his craft.
Absolutely. They know that you're getting a 4-star match every time.
But he's not the face that we would want him to be.
Absolutely. He's not. You're not looking at Woodstock nice, you know, aren't you happy? Kind of like Michael Keaton.
All right, now, this is a very anticipated card. It's going to feature some, what's the word I'm looking for here?
I shouldn't have said that about breast cancer.
Controversial. By the way, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, no,
you
I got
it. You can say cunt, you can say monkey, you can say shoehorn. I don't give a fuck what you say. Yeah. This is a podcast.
Go ahead.
No sponsorship.
Go ahead.
Controversial. The Royals. They come out to royal music. Horns. Like it's like a thing. And when they come to the ring.
And this is after you see the limousine riding up and you see the wheels.
Yeah. But here's what I want to stress.
Yeah.
When they come out, even though this is an accused murderer and like the most prolific rapist of the 20th century, they act like the fans adore them. They're like, yeah, we're the Royals. Wah! And people are just booing and they're like, yes, we love you too. Yes. Yeah. And remember, in the show, only faces come out first and the Royals have the balls to come out first.
Absolutely.
When they are clearly the heels.
Fucking right they do.
So they come to the ring. It's like a magic thing, majestic. They have like servants, all kinds of details. So they get there, and you know who they're facing off with, don't you?
Henry Winkler and Red Foreman. But
Madman
is this
Red Foreman?
Is it the Madman and the Fonz?
No.
Or is it the Madman and?
It's just. So this is why this is amazing. Henry Winkler, who was on Happy Days,
and this goes back to our rule earlier. He was talking about.
And there's a TV dad, right?
Yeah.
He just shows up as Henry Winkler. He's a nice middle-aged guy. He's in a suit. He's like, hi, I don't even understand wrestling. I'm just here for the paycheck. And he just gets destroyed, like decimated immediately.
The ambiguously gay Henry Winkler?
Kinda. Yeah, like.
Because
like,
he's like he's like overplaying like the.
He's like, hi,
I can do more than Fonz, believe me. But he overdoes it, so it makes him look like.
And he just, he doesn't even,
Well, once you play the Fonz, play anything else, you kind of look like a wimp.
He makes no attempt to hearken the Fonz. He just wants to appear as Henry Winkler.
I know.
And he comes out to the Happy Days theme song, which annoys him, but that's fine. He comes out, and Red Foreman doesn't like him. Like, Red's like, why the fuck are you my partner? Like, I'm a scrapper. You're a mess. They get in the ring.
Yeah, that 70s team.
Red Foreman is
weren't
in the
middle. Weren't they called
that 70s team? That 70s team, that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Yes, they are called that 70s team, and they are facing the Royals. I love that. That's really good, John.
Just for one show.
Yeah, it's great.
And that's it. They never.
Yeah. Well, listen, you got to explain the story.
Yeah.
I'm going to set up this concept, and I want you to bring it home for me, okay?
Yeah, sir.
So, and we discussed this off camera.
Yes, sir.
Or off tape. So here's what happens. You go to the ring. Red Foreman is squaring off against O.J. Simpson. And I want you to think of O.J. Simpson in the late 70s.
Yep.
Manicured afro.
Yep.
He's muscles. He's big. He's strong. And him and Red are having a good little match.
Mm-hmm.
Cosby jumps off the ring apron and works his way around and puts a rag over Winkler's mouth. And boom, Winkler passes out. Now, we don't know what happened. We have no idea how or whatever. Maybe it's chloroform. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Liquid lubes, perhaps.
The point is, Winkler's gone, and they stick him under the ring.
right? So now Red's getting, he's got OJ in like in a cross face lock. And he's like, yeah, I'm coming home, you know? And he goes to tag Winkler. And who's standing there? Who's fucking standing there? Bill Cosby.
Holy shit.
And Bill Cosby just blows some dust into his face. You take the rest of it.
Oh, man, that's just amazing. When he gets around the other rig, man, I think the referee goes, here's one thing. I think here's where we get Red. Red reverses it and somehow comes up with a pin, like a score.
And
the referee is too drugged out to count because he goes to count
Red,
one.
Red ducks, right. And the dust hits OJ and the ref. The ref passes out. But now Red's reversing
it. Win.
Huh?
The rules.
Of course. Yeah. So yeah. Red's now on top of OJ Simpson. There's no ref.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby's like running around like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Making his noises and shit. No, because he makes that like, I can't do the noises. But the point is, you know the Bill Cosby noises if I say them.
Yeah.
So he's making those noises and kind of giggling and shit. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, like, Red's mad. He's like, I pinned him. Where's Henry Winkler? I have no partner. I've been abandoned.
Yes.
What is happening right now? And that is when Bill Cosby jumps off the top rope and does an elbow right into the back of Red's head, knocks him unconscious. He goes over. He sprinkles something on the ref. The ref wakes up. And then 1, 2, 3, and that's it. The 70s team is defeated by the
Royals. And shouldn't they torch his face? Shouldn't they torch his face?
Well, they tried. That was when they blew the dust, but it didn't really work out.
Yeah.
So there might be some, you know, I guess like peripheral powder burns, but whatever.
Fair enough. Could be foreshadowing.
As the Royals leave the ring triumphant, and again, they think to gigantic fanfare and they're getting booed. They have no conception. They're like, we are the greatest thing ever.
But that's still heat. They're heat.
They have heat.
There's people cheering and.
So as they leave, they're leaving the ring. They're gone, right? Yeah. Red's dumbfounded. The mic comes down. He wants an explanation. He's like, where is Henry Winkler? I am by myself in the ring. What is happening? And this begins the madman's ascension into madness.
Yes.
Or is it descension? I don't know. The point is he's going to lose his shit.
I think technically we don't want to go any further.
No, we don't.
But we'll just say he's going somewhere.
Let's just put a pin in that storyline.
Yeah.
The Royals win hands down.
Yeah, keep your mind on that one.
Now, this next match is a favorite of mine.
He's got a genius story for that one. Just relax.
The next match is a favorite of mine. This is the direct undercard.
Okay.
If there was... No, I'm not going to go there. This is the direct undercard. This is the first show, okay?
Okay.
The ultimate heel for me,
mm-hmm.
which is Mr. Brady, Leader Mike Brady, which isn't established yet. He's still the Bloody Butcher, is facing The Rock. Right,
Mr. Arnold
from Wonder Years.
So you have a power wrestler facing a skill wrestler, and but Brady's not. I wouldn't say he's similar to Keaton. Wouldn't you say in a way like
he's
lanky
just,
and
well, they're lanky.
Yeah, but he's not like a small guy though.
My character that I've created here, Mr. Brady, is older.
Yeah.
He's got like, you know when he had the gray in the temples and his creepy afro from the 70s and his stupid, awful mustache?
The perm and the mustache.
That's my Brady, where he's like HIV is ravaging him a little bit, you know, because that's what the guy died from in real life. So he's getting there. Kind of like, did you see the Brady's 80s special when they had like the Christmas special? Mike Brady's my Brady. And he's angry and he's mad and he's had to like suppress his sexuality for years. And he's
the dark family secret.
The dark family secret. And it's bubbling up and he's a psychopath. For lack of a better word, he is a psychopath.
He's the most hard. Like, you can imagine any Cactus Jack, Terry Funk, King of the Death Matches 95 tournament in Japan.
Times 10.
Yeah.
So, we come back from commercial break on Fox. And then, what would you do if I sang out of tune? And Mr. Arnold's coming out to his theme song, you know? And he's The Rock. He's like, yeah, I'm Arnold. And the fans like him. He's not like an electric character, per se.
He's not totally over, but you respect him on his ring ability and stuff. You know, power-wise. He's kind of,
he's The Rock, though.
A lot of rest
he's
holds
built,
and stuff.
Dude. Yeah. So he gets to the ring, and then...
But he's
right off the bat, Brady has hijacked his theme music. Right off the bat, and all you hear is like a rhinestone cowboy, and he comes out, and he's got like magnificent robes and sequins and glitter, like not unlike
a homosexual Ric Flair at the peak of his popularity.
But his teeth are grounded into fangs. Like literally filed. Like filed. Like this guy's not, it's not Joey. Like he'll bite out your trapezius. This guy is not somebody to play with. He's like the most dangerous heel of all time.
And from the door, the fans hate him. They just hate him. And he just wants to be loved. That's all he really wants. He doesn't understand it. He goes to the ring and he gets in the ring. Yep. And you know, our poor Mr. Arnold looks a little confused. Like, yep. The guy's flamboyant, and he's not really, like, dressing like a yep. dude, and there's, like, fantastic pink melee and all this stuff. And
he underestimates him. Kiss of death.
He does underestimate him.
Kiss of death.
The bottom line is, after a long, arduous match, I want Johnny Zero to explain the finishing move that Mr. Brady's going to put on to Mr. Arnold.
There's a couple setups, but I think he whips him in and puts all the iron claw on him and grabs his face, and maybe when the ref isn't looking underneath in his private area.
Oh, the genitalia.
Yeah, but it's not like a gay thing. It's just like he's really...
Except it's kind of a gay thing.
Yeah, but he does it till the guy passes out. and then he takes his iron claw off and then bites his face when he kisses him. He kisses him the kiss of death.
But
bites his cheek off. And then he's already in position to do a body slam. So he picks him up and slams him over top and then slithers and spits his cheek out on his face.
And here's where it happens. Here's what happens.
And he drinks his blood.
It's a lock. It's a lock that Brady's going to pin him because he's just like knocked this guy unconscious. But you can't bite the faces off of the athletes. And unfortunately, Mr. Brady's disqualified.
Are you kidding?
For excessive violence, which just makes Brady crazy because he's just defeated a very powerful opponent.
Absolutely.
And he wants his due, and they're like, no, I'm sorry, Mr. Brady. The winner is The Rock.
Wow.
And the fans go crazy, and Brady's livid, and he's got blood all over his face, and his eyes have turned like a weird yellow color
yes.
that no one can understand.
Yeah.
But maybe it's jaundice. I don't know, but it's just
not
right.
Is that where he goes back and like other 70s show, you know, stars like Lamont, where he was talking to him and Brady said he got beat up in the match and he's just complimenting them.
I'm not really sure what happens backstage, to be completely honest with you.
Okay.
But that's happened. And Brady should have won.
That could be the start.
It could be. Yeah. I don't know, John. Yeah. I can't speak on it.
Yeah,
this is the inauguration show.
Yeah.
So an understanding of everyone involved.
Yeah.
After tonight, there is no wrestling. This is it. This is a one-time thing.
Yeah.
And all these grudges, and it doesn't matter. You just play to win. Yeah. And Brady's mad because he's not going to get the big side of the money. When you compete,
absolutely.
The winner gets 70%, the loser gets 30%. He wanted the money.
Catch as catch can.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's livid. He's very upset by this.
Yeah.
He has to be brought down. Security has to come in. And do you know who the special security is for this show? You don't remember, do you?
I know a couple of them.
Bull from Night Court.
Bull from Night Court. But I thought, isn't this Savini like his subordinate?
No.
No?
I hate that guy.
I don't like him either.
That guy's not going to be here. He snubbed me and my second wife at a pool in Florida.
He tried to hit up with my second fiance.
Yeah. Guy. We don't like that guy.
Yeah.
Mr. Savini.
I appreciate what you did for us.
No,
our country.
No. Mr. Savini, if you're listening, fuck you. You're not listening, but still fuck you. Trust me.
You never know, man.
I do know. Fuck
this
that
guy. This
is
going to be a big dude.
Yeah, we'll see. Got to get past episode one. All right. The ultimate match. The headlining event.
Yes.
Is the ultimate face, the Frontiersman, Ingles.
The Frontiersman, Charles Ingles.
Well, you do the introduction. Go
with,
ahead.
With accompanied by Neckbeard, his loyal dog, going up against... You go.
The meathead, Michael Stiffick.
Michael Stiddick. He still has the hair.
Oh, yeah. He looks like he did on All in the Family.
Got it. Okay.
And he's not really fat yet. He's kind of a big competitor, but let's be honest.
Yeah, he's definitely has power.
He has power. No one's questioning that. But
that dude's got an upper forearm.
Well, you are going to now explain the match. Put this down. That's not happening.
Knee lift. Ingles is pretty simple. Ingles whips him into the rope. Irish whips him in. It's Highway to Heaven. And then
oh my God!
And then the perfect storm.
I almost spit water out my nose. That is so funny. Say that again.
He whips him into the ropes, and it's the Highway to Heaven.
Oh, it's so good.
And then he leads him into the perfect storm. The perfect storm is when you put your opponent. If you're familiar with Goldberg's jackhammer, all right, or like British Bulldog suplex, or one of the Barry Windham suplexes, where they really hold him up and they spin him around with the head, so the blood drops to the vein, to the brain. Well, he does that, and he spins around, but instead of dropping on your back, he goes face first, like a brain blow. You're going head down.
Oh, it's rough, man.
Yeah, but thing is, you're still in a position where you can wrap around the legs and curl up the chin and do a step over, an STF, a step over to hold front face lock, which was what Lou Thesz used. And he learned that from Abraham Lincoln in Billigan, Illinois.
Oh, that's so good.
In 1843.
That's so good. That's so good.
So he could pin you or submit you. It's called a perfect storm.
Now, here's the thing. This is the
I'm not biased.
This is the first episode. Ingles is in the ring. They're playing his triumphant theme music. The crowd's going crazy. Like, this is the ultimate face. Right? And it's like, okay, there's like 2 minutes left in the broadcast. Yep. The people in the booth are ecstatic. Like, this is going to end really well, positive. We all made money. It's going to be a good show. Yes. Mr. Murdoch's going to be happy. He got to see blood and gore. And it's going to be good for us. We're going to get bonuses, right?
Yep.
And then somebody hijacks a microphone way off. Kind of like when you think of how they used to set up Piper's Pit. Remember Piper's Pit?
Yeah.
Like, it was to the side. It had its own microphone.
Yep.
And Ingles is doing his thing, and everybody loving it. He's posing in the ring, and Neckbeard's running around waving the American flag. It's like a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And the music cuts.
Because they don't know. We don't know if this show's going to catch on.
This isn't a show. It's just a one-off.
It's a one-off thing.
The music gets cut, and Mike Brady, while covered in blood, is throwing a temper tantrum into the microphone, advising how Charles Ingles has stolen his thunder. Charles Ingles is not a real wrestler. He's a fraud, and he's taking all of the money, and he's like, I'm going to end you, Ingles. You will see.
He even made things about HGH at the Ingles farm and stuff. Like, he was cheating and all kinds of stuff.
You're drugged up. You're not a real athlete. Yeah. You're a fake wrestler. This whole thing. And then in... thinking of NWA 1986 era, the color commentator's like, oh my God, folks, we have to go! And it cuts off.
We're going to try and keep you as long as we can, folks. We're going to keep you here as fans. We'll see you next week!
And that's it.
And that's it.
And that's how it ends. And that's the end of the first episode. And shockingly, it's a fucking hit.
Yes.
It's a hit. Now, in 2017, when this show premieres, you have the internet.
Yeah.
And it just starts to take on a life of its own.
Yes. It just takes it is. It just,
to the point where Mr. Murdoch is approached by the other executives of Fox. They're like, sir, this is a runaway hit. We don't understand what it is.
Can you reproduce it on a weekly basis?
Well, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
They want to do another special.
Yes.
It was a wrestling special.
Yeah.
And a segment producer from the Maury Povich show was the original person who had suggested the show.
Absolutely.
You remember that?
Yep.
Someone who used to work for the Jerry Springer program, another segment producer approaches the Fox executive and they're like, listen, this shit's taken off. Maybe you should wait till the Super Bowl happens.
Yes.
It's going to be in January, or is it February now? In February.
Yeah.
And you can have your second episode and just put it right over the halftime show on Fox.
Now, should we do some road shows to build that up of the guys that aren't
working?
Well,
there's no budget yet.
Okay.
There's no understanding of it. But I'm not saying no.
Yeah, but the hatred Brady has.
Brady's pissed. And frankly, Ingles is offended.
Absolutely.
You have stolen his thunder. He had a phenomenal match.
Yeah.
The Highway to Heaven is amazing.
Yeah.
He has these great finishers.
Yeah.
And there's this crazy gay bloody guy screaming at him from the side of the stage.
And that's when he starts getting the t-shirts made up, because that show ends with his stash is covered in blood and it's dripping.
The Bloody Stash Butcher.
That's absolutely, dude.
And that's
going to be a start of a semi-revolution there.
This is the end of the first episode.
Got it.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks a lot, guys.
And please tune in next week, not the conclusion, but for the next chapter of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Johnny.
That's it. Thank you, Vex. See you guys.